Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 9. I'm going to read beginning at verse 14 down through verse 24. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hearkeneth. Thou wilt then say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Our subject today is the road to reprobation. We pick up where we left off last time as we study again the Bible doctrine of reprobation. The purpose of setting forth this controversial subject is to instruct all who listen in, because this great truth is not preached or even mentioned anymore in our religious circles. Instead, the heresy of preaching that Christ has done all he can do, and they also preach that Christ can't save a sinner unless that sinner allow him to, that has become so popular, and my friend, it is causing a lot of damnation instead of redemption. Now, we preach this great truth because it is not even mentioned anymore in our religious circles. If reprobation is mentioned at all, the reaction is quick and sometimes violent, because the sinner does not like to hear this reality that God can save whom he will and let go whom he will. The cry almost comes immediately. God is unfair, and this cry is nothing but heresy and very dishonoring. Today we shall set forth three things as we study reprobation. First, the reason for preaching this subject. Secondly, the steps leading to reprobation. And then, last of all, the result of reprobation. You see, people today are taught that God doesn't send people to hell, but he does. People are taught today that God doesn't reprobate, but he does. People are taught today that God can't do things, but he does. You see, God is a sovereign God, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, we want you to listen carefully and follow along in your Bible. The vast majority of you do not know this subject because it is not set forth from the pulpits at this hour. The blame lies squarely on the milksop, weak-kneed preachers who are afraid of their jobs more than they have the fear of God. Many of you preachers listen to me, and you are afraid to be identified with this work in any manner. Well, my friend, that's your business, but you remember, you will give an account unto God for not declaring the truth as it is to men and women, and boys and girls, as they are. Several reasons can be given for the necessity of preaching reprobation. The first reason is that it is part of the whole counsel of God. Salvation or redemption is the theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but not all men or women are going to be saved. We need to understand that. While my Lord is saving people, he is also reprobating individuals, and this reality needs to be set forth to put a fear in the hearts of individuals. The second reason for preaching reprobation is to cause the saints of God to adore the Lord more than ever before. If you and I'll be honest with ourselves, we'll have to all come to the same conclusion. We just don't appreciate the Lord God of heaven like we should. We're just not filled with the gratitude like we ought to be. And my friend, a lot of that comes because of ignorance and the fact that many of us have not been taught the truth like we should have been taught along these lines. When the Lord reveals himself to an individual, that person is filled with gratitude. This gratitude becomes deeper and deeper as the individual grows in the grace and knowledge of Christ. When the truth of reprobation is preached, and the person is made to see how the Lord could have let him go and not saved him, I'll tell you, my friend, this the heart is humbled, and the Lord is adored more than ever before. Now, what about you at this hour, my radio friend? Does the Lord mean everything to you? If not, you've got some repentance to do before our God. And my friend, we have to do it day by day, because all of us fall into this category. We allow these things to creep in. Reprobation should be preached over and over again, because my Lord uses His truth as a mighty weapon to overcome the stronghold of the sinner, which is pride and self-sufficiency. The doctrine of reprobation causes the individual to wonder and fear, because he is not sure the Lord will ever save him. The acts of reprobation cuts asunder the sinner's pride and humbles him in the dust before God, where he belongs and where he should be. And this is another reason why reprobation should be preached. Last of all, reprobation should be preached because it exalts the Lord and puts God on the throne, in control as sovereign and majestic Jehovah God that He is. Reprobation sets forth that the Lord is the author of salvation, as well as the bestower of it upon whom He will, according to God's will and not man's will. It clearly exhibits the Lord as merciful, but also exhibits Him as just, and reveals Jehovah as the God who has mercy upon whom He will have mercy, and hardens whom He will. These are but a few of the many reasons for preaching and teaching reprobation. In the reprobation of the sinner, my Lord cannot be blamed whatever. Hold your seat now and pay close attention. Every person who goes to hell goes there because he desires and determines to go to hell. The Lord cannot be blamed or accused whatever when the individual dies and goes to hell. It is entirely the fault and the responsibility of the individual. Now, man cannot be saved unless God save him. We know that. But man is responsible to sue for mercy and to seek the Lord, and that responsibility is incumbent upon every individual on the face of this earth. When man refuses to humble himself and come to the Lord God of heaven for redemption and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, that individual pits his will against God, hardens his heart, and if God ever lets him go, that individual will go right straight to hell like a robin goes to its nest to feed its young. In reprobation, certain events or steps lead to the reality of reprobation. And when this takes place, the sinner knows it very clearly. These steps we shall set forth in the time remaining. So you listen very carefully, if you will, and follow along, because this is very important. Take your Bibles now and turn to Mark chapter 6 and verses 14 through 29. We shall not read the entire passage, but call your attention to certain verses which need to be studied. The first thing we notice in this portion is that Herod the king had shut John up in prison because of John's stand and declaration of the truth. Now notice verse 20 of Mark chapter 6, where we read, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." We call your attention to the words "feared" and "heard him gladly." These words mean that Herod respected John and treated him with reverence. This means that the Lord had put a respect in the heart of Pharaoh, or the heart of Herod, I should say, regarding John, with the result being Herod was pricked in his heart and knew that John spoke the truth. Now look at these words carefully, if you will. And this is what it says. Look at these words. "Heard him gladly." These words mean that Herod listened to John with great pleasure, and he liked what he heard. Now, the average sinner today likes to hear the gospel, but the dilemma comes when the gospel is to be obeyed. Some of you out there right now enjoy this kind of preaching, but you won't lift one finger to help maintain it and cause the work to expand. You're just like Herod in this case, just a spectator, enjoying what you hear as one enjoys a good musical or some other program. Herod was like that, but he went to hell, and so will some of you, or all of you, unless you repent and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod sat under the gospel, and God endured this man with long suffering, just as he is doing with you at this present hour. The first step to reprobation is being under the long suffering of God and being given the privilege of sitting under the gospel. However, Herod was singled out by the Lord in a special manner, which is a privilege, and yet has an awesome responsibility connected with it. With some, my Lord deals with more than others, and Herod was this kind of a person. What happened to Herod always happens to the individual as that person travels the route, either to salvation or reprobation. Notice these words again in Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, where we read these words. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. We call your attention now to the words, he did many things. These words have a special meaning which merit our close attention. The words mean to be without recourse, to be in straits, to be left wanting, to be embarrassed. Now let that soak in. When a sinner is left without recourse and found wanting, that individual is always embarrassed before the Lord. What happened to Herod happened to you if you were ever genuinely converted by our God. As the gospel went home to your heart, you were left in a state of being without recourse or without a word to say in your defense. The law of God shut you up. Your mouth was stopped, and you became guilty before the Lord. This always takes place in either salvation or reprobation, and if you have missed this, you have missed Christ because you have missed Holy Spirit conviction. Next, we see Herod in the strait, which means there was a conflict on which way he was to go. It was either repent and turn to Christ or go on as before on the road to hell because of his sin. Now listen carefully. Herod knew what his sin was, and so does every individual if the Lord has ever done or is doing a work in the heart of that person. It boiled down to two things for Herod, and it is true at this present hour. It is Christ or hell. It means turn or burn. It means to surrender or suffer. Last of all, we see Herod embarrassed. The word means to be discomforting, to abase, to disconcert, and to rattle. It causes frustration, followed by confusion, therefore making the person to be very uncomfortable. Herod was in such a state because of the preaching of John as the gospel went home to his heart. This also takes place in the life of the individual when my Lord deals with that sinner in conviction. It is my hope that my preaching might cause such results in all of you at this hour, because it is an evidence of the power of the Lord being exercised upon the preaching as well as being exercised upon the individual. How long Herod remained in this state is not known, and how long you may be in this state is known only to God. But I'm going to tell you right now, you will taste this if you ever are to be converted. While Herod was embarrassed, he had to determine which way he would travel. His day of decision came on his birthday. Listen now, listen like you've never listened before. In verses 21 through 26 of our text, we see the events leading to Herod's reprobation. His wife's daughter danced, and Herod promised whatever this girl desired. She asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now notice the words of 26 and 7 of Mark chapter 6, where we read, "And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison." Notice these words, exceeding sorry. These words mean regret and sorry or sorrowful. Herod was very sorry and he regretful. But I want you to say right now, he did not back away from his decision. It was this act of beheading John that made Herod a reprobate. You see, he was given the opportunity to stand on the side of truth or go against John and the Lord. Herod determined to go with his wife and stepdaughter, therefore he beheaded John in prison. The opinion and popularity of man meant more to Herod than the approval of the Lord God of heaven. The act he performed, he could not ever undo again. Yet Herod was aware of what had to be done. The same thing takes place at this hour. God crossed the will of Herod, and God crosses the will of the sinner today. It doesn't take much, my friend, to cross over the deadline which leads to reprobation. The result of Herod's decision was his being placed under God's silence forever. What a cost for a moment of pleasure. And my friend, I want to tell you right now, Herod did not know that his birthday was going to be the time of his decision. Neither do you. You can sin away your day of grace. And when you do, my friend, I'll tell you right now, it'll come when you least expect it. Herod never intended to sin away his day of grace, but he did so. Now, what about you at this hour? Has the Lord ever crossed your will regarding your sin, your opinion, or your belief? If you are battling against the truth of God, you cannot win because my Lord never loses a battle. Listen, radio friend, whatever it is that you are in a quandary over, if it is against the Lord, surrender or you will become a reprobate. Herod cannot blame the Lord for being reprobated, and neither will you. If you don't know Christ at this hour, my hope and my prayer is that the Lord is even now speaking to your heart and causing you, as it were, to think, and to think very clearly, because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. As I've said before, I want to say again, the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door and come in and save you. Now, there's one thing you need to understand, and understand it very clearly. If you become a reprobate sinner, you have no one to blame but your heart, but your own self. I urge you to do this. You beg the Lord at this hour to open your heart, break you at His feet, and then raise you up in redemption. Always remember this. My Lord doesn't have to save you, but if you die and go to hell, you go to hell to the praise of the glory of God's justice. And if you ever get saved, it'll be to the praise of the glory of God's grace. Either way, God's going to get glory out of you, out of your salvation or out of your damnation. And my friend, today, the greatest thing that you can ever happen to you is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. He's caused you to listen to this message. And my hope is that the Lord stir in your heart. Oh, listen, He delights to save poor, struggling, helpless, and hell-deserving sinners. Cry unto the Lord, even at this hour, and keep crying until He redeems you. Then you let me know. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.